Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. If you don't start right, it is very, very difficult to end right. You ask some of the 100-meter sprinters in the Olympics. They stumble when they come out of the running blocks. They've lost the race from the beginning. You try to build a house and you don't start the foundation right, you're not going to finish right. It's very difficult to finish right if you don't start right. Well, if you don't start 2011 right, it's going to be mighty difficult to end 2011 right. And today we're going to talk about what the psalmist says about how we can start 2011 the right way so that we might end it the right way. And what he tells us is the right way to start it is right worship of God. We are created to worship. That's why God created us, to bring honor and glory, to magnify Him as we worship Him. Worship is crucial to your Christian life. In fact, your level of Christian maturity will be no greater than your level of worship. Your walk will be no greater than your worship. And so as we worship God and give Him the worship due His holy name, it enhances our walk with Him. Worship is not just a sidelight. It's not just something we do on Sunday mornings from 11 to 12, 15 or so. Oh, no. Worship is to be something you and I do daily. It is to be something we do on a regular basis. This is corporate worship. But you're to do individual worship. You're to be involved in family worship, because you will grow no closer to the Lord than your level of worship. And the psalmist tells us some key truths about worship this morning in our text. So as we start 2011, let's respond to this call to worship, that we might start right with the hopes that we'll finish right in 2011. And in respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand as I read Psalm 33. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. The word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. And all His, He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea and together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples, and the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven and sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, He who understands all their works. The Lord is not saved by a mighty army. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory. Nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. You may be seated. This psalm can be divided into three sections. First, we have the call to worship. Then we have the reasons that we are to worship our God rightly. And then lastly, we see the benefits of true worship. First of all, the call to worship. We see this in verses 1 through 3. And the first thing we notice are the inward conditions necessary for right worship. As he says, sing for the joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to whom? To the upright. Not just anyone can praise God in the right way. Not even any Christian can rightly praise God. It is those who are walking obediently before Him that can rightly praise Him. He says, praise is becoming to the upright. What is praise to the hypocritical? What is praise to those who are harboring sin? Is it pleasant? Is it good? Is it becoming? No. It's an abomination to God. If you and I are going to worship God, we must have hearts that have come to Him in surrender of our will to His will, in obedience to His Word. We cannot think we can worship God on Sunday and then live like the devil during the week. We cannot go out there and live like a heathen and then think we can come in and worship God on Sunday and God be pleased with it. No way. Now Israel tend to forget this fact. As we see over in Isaiah chapter 1, as God was speaking to the people of Israel, and they were indulging themselves in open sin and continuing to go about their religious activities or their assemblance of worship. All right, so they were coming, if you want to put it in modern vernacular, they were coming to church every Sunday. They were sitting there singing their praises. They were putting their money in the offering plate. They were coming to Sunday school. They were even opening their Bibles and taking notes during the Sunday sermon. But because they were not living rightly during the week, God had some strong words for them. Look on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Now, he was talking to the nation of Israel. Well, why does he call them rulers of Sodom and people of Gomorrah? Because those were two of the most sinful cities that the Old Testament talks about. And this was his way of saying, you are a bunch of reprobates. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of your fed cattle. I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. God had told them to give these sacrifices, but He didn't take any pleasure in them because their hearts were living in disobedience to Him. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling in my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. You come to me in these solemn assemblies, but your heart is filled with iniquity. I cannot stand it. God says it's making him sick to his stomach. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feast, for they have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. We cannot harbor sin in our hearts and think we can rightly worship God. There's no way. All the actions we go through outwardly will not matter if the inward condition of our heart is not one of uprightness before God, one of walking in obedience to His Word, which is one of walking in righteousness. Having seen the inward condition of worship, now he gives us some outward expressions of worship. Notice how expressive our worship is to be. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. These are expressive acts. Man, there is nothing here that is solemn, nothing reserved. Shout, give thanks, praise Him, sing to Him. Man, notice the variety as well. Not just one thing. In fact, in other places in the Psalms, it talks about worshiping the Lord. Now listen, wait a minute. Are you listening? With dance. Uh-oh, I said it. A Baptist saying worship God with dance? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And clapping hands. And wait, here we go. Raised hands even. That's all biblical. It's expressive. There's great variety here. And so when we come to worship our God, our inward condition of the heart needs to be one of surrender to His Lordship, one of obedience to His Word, and then we should let it be expressed in a variety of ways, but not many, there's not much place for reserve in our worship, is it? Israel knew how to get into their worship. They knew how to appreciate it. Now he says the reasons that we should worship God. Having given us those call to worship, now he says the reasons. First, because of God's glorious character. Look in verse 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, God is infinitely worthy of our worship. And the writer gives us several of God's glorious attributes. The word of the Lord is upright because He is upright. The Lord loves righteousness and justice because He is righteous and He is just. All of His works are done in faithfulness because He is faithful. You can always count on God to be true to His word. He is righteous in that you can always count on God to do the right thing. Never the wrong thing. He is just. He always acts justly. Even when you and I cannot figure it out. Even when it looks to us like it's not just. Trust me, it is just. He's the standard of justice. And it rounds it off. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. He's a loving God. If He was just righteous and just, and He wasn't loving, now we might be afraid. But because He is loving, that means God will only will what is best for His people. Never anything else. Not just what's good for His people, but what is best for His people. God's will for your life as one of His children is the best for you. Anything less is not the best because He's love. So we praise Him because of who He is. Next, we worship Him because of His sovereign power over the nations. Sovereign power in creation, as we see in verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. We worship God not only because of His character, but because of His awesome power in creation. Oh, when you and I just think about what God has done. Now this is a picture of the Hubble, from the Hubble telescope. And you and I have just talked about before, the vastness of our universe. How vast it is, the expanse of it. It boggles us. But let me tell you, God created it all by just speaking. Now we have a saying, talk is cheap. And what we mean by that is it's easy to say something. It's easy to say, oh, I love you. It's hard to do it. You know, we know how easy words come, don't we? Well, that's how easy it was for God to create the universe. Let there be. He just spoke it. He didn't break a sweat. You know, I was putting up some shades yesterday and I broke a sweat. Just putting up shades. But our God created the whole universe and He didn't even break a sweat. He just spoke effortlessly. He created it all. That's the power, the infinite power of our God. And when we realize His awesome power, that He could create everything just by speaking, it should bring us to worship Him in awe and reverence of Him. And not only worship Him because of His sovereign power in creation, but also because of His sovereign power over the nations. Look at verses 10 and 12. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. Nations make their plans, but God determines what really happens. Iran has made it known publicly in no uncertain terms that their intent is to destroy the nation of Israel and to destroy the United States. And in so doing, usher in the 12th Imam, which is the Islamic Messiah. I want you to know something. They can boast, they can speak, they can brag, they can say anything they want, but until it's the will of God, it's not going to happen. They make their plans, but if it's not the will of God for it to happen, it will not happen. North Korea likes to rattle their saber and make their threats. Well, let me tell you, if it's not the will of God, it's not going to happen. Because men may make their plans, but God determines. He frustrates the plans of nations and peoples. But blessed are those who are the Lord's. Amen. Because His plans for His people are for our hope. His plans for His people are not for calamity. He is going to work in the lives of His people to bring them into the image of Jesus Christ, that He might be glorified. Obama and his plans were only going to last for 2 more years, maybe 4 after that. But let me tell you, once he's gone from the scene, his ideas are gone with him. His plans, gone with him. But the plans of the Lord God will last forever and ever and ever and ever. Praise Him for His sovereign power over nations. And then thirdly, worship Him because of His sovereign rule over individuals, His sovereign care over individuals. Look, the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place, He looks out and all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, He understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Not only does God rule over the nations, but God cares for individuals. Now this is probably even more glorious than the first two truths. That God created everything and that God controls nations. Now the same God that created this universe, as you will see, is the God who cares about you. The God who knows you individually. He looks out from heaven and He sees people. He sees individuals, not masses. You see, in this passage, it talks about the king, singular, one man. It talks about the warrior, one man. He's talking about now God caring for individuals, even though He made it all. And you and I are so small, so infinitesimally small. And yet, He cares for you and He knows you. First thing, He sees you. He says He looks from heaven and sees all the sons of men. He sees you. Next, He understands you perfectly because He's fashioned your heart. What does it say there? And He fashions all of their hearts. He understands you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He understands your situation. He even knows your thoughts before you have them. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows you intimately because He created you. While you're yet being woven in your mother's womb, He determined your DNA that would go together to make you who you are and to make you look like you look. You're His particular creation. He sees you, He understands you, and He helps you. That's what it is, all this about the king not being saved by His mighty army, about the warrior not being saved by His great strength, all this about the horse is a false hope for victory. What's He saying? He's saying, unless the Lord builds a house, they who labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards a city, those who guard it guard in vain. He's saying it doesn't, in the final analysis, depend on you, but on God. You need God. God is the one who makes the difference. It's not a king in a mighty army. God can take one and defeat a mighty army. He can take one angel and kill hundreds of thousands. He's done it before. If God's on your side, you're in the majority. I don't care how many are on the other side. Warriors, His great strength is not where His victory is found. Look at David and Goliath. It's in God. You don't put your trust in that horse for the victory. It's not your bank account. It's not your abilities. It's not your intelligence. Don't put your trust in those. Put your trust in God. He cares for you. What is He going to say? To deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. It's God that's going to keep us alive. It's God that's going to see us through. I don't know what 2011 is going to bring. I mean, we may have a terrorist attack of unprecedented proportions. I don't know. The whole economy could really sink. We could see ourselves in a famine, but let me tell you, you need to put your trust in God. Those who hope for His loving kindness. Those who really believe that God is the one who created everything. And He is a God who rules the affairs of men and nations. And He cares for individuals. Put your trust in Him. He will see you through. He will not let you down. And now we move to the benefits of worship. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart rejoices in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let His loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in You. When you worship right, you're going to learn how to wait on God. Because when you worship Him rightly, you see how great He is and you can wait on Him. Wait on Him means you trust Him, means you look to Him. You don't get ahead of Him, but you say, God, in Your time, in Your way, You're going to work and I'm going to wait on You. I'm going to look to You. Because it depends on You, not on the mighty horse, not on the mighty army, not on my strength, it depends on You, so I'm going to wait on You. I'm going to look to You. And also look what it says. We wait on Him because He's our help. And He's our shield. He's our protection. He'll take care of you. And then we rejoice in Him because we trust in His holy name. We trust in His holy person. When you really trust God, you can rejoice in no matter what the situation is. Because you know your God is able. He created everything just by speaking. He can handle your situation. He can be with you and will be with you and see you through. So we're called to right worship. That's the way you start off the year right, in right worship. Will you worship the Lord? Will you make it a priority this year to worship Him rightly? To ponder the greatness of His character, the greatness of His works and creation and ruling in the affairs of men and nations? Will you place your trust in Him? Place all your hope in Him. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to somebody else. Look to Him. He will be all you need. And He will carry you through, no matter what you face this year. And I don't know what it's going to be for any of us. But He'll see you through. I can guarantee you that as you look to Him. Let's pray. Father, we do look to You to enable us to worship in the way that brings honor and glory to You. You might be lifted up. You might be magnified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, my Jesus, I long to be near You. To be on fire for You all of my days. But when I find You, I'm afraid to stand too close to the flame. So I kneel by the lampstand and pray. Goodbye.